Well, it's exciting to be here this morning on Mother's Day, to be continuing the sermon series that we've been talking about. We began the sermon series that's called TGI Monday. And I know a lot of people are going, why Monday? But we've been talking about this because what happens here on Sunday is very important to what happens on Monday. And so we've been discovering different things about how we can translate what happens on Sunday and to our Mondays and the rest of our week. And so this morning I want us to talk about discovering balance in our lives. And I want to be honest with you from the very beginning. When I use this word balance, it's sort of a misnomer in our society. Balance is really the wrong word. And I'm going to use it over and over again here this morning. But I want you to understand that when I talk about bringing balance into your life, I'm not talking about finding the exact amount of time that you need to spend between work and all the other areas of your life. Because, you know, that is pretty much impossible. Sometimes work will take more hours. And I think a more appropriate word that we should be talking about here in the morning is this word harmony. We're talking about finding harmony between the areas of our lives in a way that is best for your life and that honors God and is the best for the people in your life. So I'm going to use the word balance throughout our message days, but I want you to recognize that what we really want to do is what we're trying to find is this harmony, the balance between these areas of our life. There are certain things that I need in my life and that God created me to need. And you see, I'm afraid many of us here today are merely maybe just existing. We are just getting by. And today I want to stop merely existing, and I want to begin to experience what God really has for us in this authentic living. And here is the good news. God doesn't hide from us how we can live authentically. He shows us how we can live the authentic life, the life we were created to live. In the Bible, God tells us that we need to make room for what we need to make room for in our lives in order for us to really live. Look at our first verse. If you pull out your sermon notes here this morning, the very first verse there at the top of your page, the very first verse is James chapter 1, verse 5. It's our memory verse for the week, and I want us to begin this morning by reading it out loud together. And this is what it says. It says this, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. See, God wants you to know what we need to do, what we need to make room for in our life in order to really live, and not just to merely exist. In fact, in the first two chapters of the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God makes it very clear to us. He said there are four very important and very, very specific elements in our life that we all need. And if you want to experience real life, we have to balance these four elements of our life, sort of like how we balance four tires on our cars. You see, if you have driven a car, you know that you have to pay attention and give attention to all four tires. There, you know, there are some things that you might get by with that if you only have two of them or maybe three of them and that you don't need all four. But on our cars, we need all four, right? We have three good tires and one flat tire. We're not going to go very far, right? We're going to eventually either tear up the car, tear up the tires, the car itself, or run off the road. We need four good tires. You know what? That is what God says about these four very important areas of our life. You see, four areas of our life, we have to give attention to all of them because we can't do one of them or two of them or even just three of them. Because if one of them is neglected, our life is going to be hard to control. It's going to get us off course and we are going to crash. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the four areas of our life that we need to make room for in order to experience real living. So let's look at the first one. The first one is there in your notes. It says, to make room for life, I must first make room for work. Write that down. Make room for work. Now, some of you may be thinking, I do not need help with that one. I have plenty of room in my life for work. But I want you to pay attention to this. Work is good. You were created to work. See, you were created to do work. And when you don't work, you're not doing what God created you to do. See, look at our next verse. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Probably a lot of us have this memorized. It's probably one of the most famous verses from the Bible. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Will you underline those two words, God created? In the very first verse of the very first book of the Bible, look what God's doing. God is working. And God's work is creation. And that's what God does. When God is working, God is creating things. God is the only one that can create something from nothing. And you and I can't create something from nothing. We can't bring life from death, but God can do that. That is God's work. And that's what God has done. As a matter of fact, God has done that work in my life. He has taken the life of my life that was previously dead, and he has made it alive. And you are here today. You can experience God working in that same way in your life if you haven't had it already. See, that's what God does. He creates. But not only does God work, he creates us to work as well. I want you to look at our next verse. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And this is what it says. He said, the Lord took the man. See, this is just after he finished creation. He took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Will you underline that word, work? You see, immediately after God created human beings, he took Adam and he put him in the Garden of Eden and he told him to work. See, Adam, he was, and we are as well, created to work. This had probably to be the cushiest job on earth. Look, Adam is in charge of taking care of the Garden of Eden with animals and plants that were there, but there was no sin. Everybody was perfect. All the animals were friendly. There were no weeds. I can't imagine what it was like taking care of this perfect place. It had to be the best job ever. No crowds, no commute, no boss breathing down your neck, nothing. It had to be the very best job you could have. I mean, here's the point. God created us to work. In fact, he created us to enjoy work and to want to work. Look at what the author of Ecclesiastes discovered in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. Here's Solomon. He's writing and he's trying to find what is there. What is the purpose of life? He's trying to find where do you find satisfaction? And he tries all types of things. And look what he wrote in chapter 3, verse 22. He wrote, so I saw that there was nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. See, that is why they are here. See, I always thought that the happiest that I could ever be would to be sitting on my couch, having a few Swiss cakes, a few Pringles, and watching television. You know, but that's not it. Well, I love Swiss cakes. But some of you would say that that is when you might be the happiest. The Bible says no. You are not going to be happy wasting your life away like that because God created us with a purpose. God created us to work, to accomplish something, to get something done. Unfortunately, instead of enjoying our work, instead of being passionate about our work, much of the time we end up resenting our work. We dread going to work. The reason we dread it is because our work ends up pushing out the other areas of our life. It has taken over the other areas of our life, and so we begin to dread our work. And I want to be honest with you and straightforward with you from the very beginning. I think we need more Christian people with integrity at the top of the fields in this world. We need more Christians at the top of financial firms. We need more Christians at the top of political offices. We need more Christians at the top of entertainment and so that they can be better role models. I believe we need Christians climbing the success ladder so that we can set examples and we can set the standard of integrity. I think that is good. And I think it would be better if we did. But the danger comes when work becomes our entire life. You see, we weren't meant to express our identity as Christians through our work. But instead, too often, our work becomes our identity. I become my job. My job is who I am. And we become workaholics. And workaholics is a lot like an alcoholic, and they destroy their lives because they only have made room for one thing in their life. And this one thing pushes everything else out of the way. And if you are a workaholic, you haven't made room for the other areas of your life that are important for you to be happy. So you live this life that God wants you to live, but you don't live it to the fullest extent because you're cutting out the other areas. You have to make room for the rest of your life. And work is important because it can't push the rest of your life aside. Otherwise, you're not going to have the joy in work that God intended you to have in your work. So I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to grade your work life right now. You can see there in your message note on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being that you are as happy as you possibly can be, and 1, of course, being the most miserable you can be. Where do you rank yourself today? Write it down. And just self-reflection, how happy are you in your work right now? And some of you may be thinking, I'm not happy because I'm not doing what I want to be doing. But really, you can be happy in work no matter what it is. Now, I want you to think about why you're not happy. Is work taking over an area of your life? Or are you not seeing this as what God has created you to do? So I want you to grade yourself. Number one, I must make room for work. But to make room for real life, not only do we need to make room for work, but we need to do the second thing I think we need to balance, and is this: I have to make room for rest. Write that down. I have to make room for rest. See, we were created to need rest. In fact, just as God worked, God rested. Look at our next verse. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, on the seventh day, having finished his task, God rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. Now, I want you to catch this. God worked for 6 days, creating the entire universe. Then the Bible says, on the seventh day, he stopped from his work of creation, and he rested. And not only did he rest, but he set aside that day as holy. In fact, he called it the Sabbath day, and then commanded us as human beings to observe at least one day of rest a week, one Sabbath day a week, where we're to stop the work we do the other 6 days and take a break from it, and we rest. And I want you to notice, God doesn't suggest that we take a Sabbath. God commands that we rest one day. If you are not taking a Sabbath, if you're not resting one day every week from the normal work, you are sinning because you are breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And God set that there so that people would rest. God didn't suggest it. In fact, God created us to need that day off because he knows that we need rest. I don't know why he did this, but for some reason, he created us to need sleep at night. Now, he could have created us so that we would be awake all the time. But as human beings, he created us that we need 7 or 8 hours of sleep in order to make it every night. And it is scientifically proven that when we don't rest, our performance goes down, our health goes down, our stress levels go up. And we can literally take years off of your life when we don't get the amount of sleep that we need. God says that we have to rest because he created us for some reason, and we need to rest. There's a nomadic tribe in the Middle East called the Bedouins, and they are mostly sheep herders, but they're very primitive, and they're still with us even today. And they're a nomadic tribe, and they go from place to place. Scientists not too long recognize that these people lived a long time. You want to know what the average life of a Bedouin is? Almost every one of them lives 100 years. 100 years. They were living so long that they thought they needed to find out why they lived so long. So they went and they began to study how they lived. And the best they could tell, the reason they lived so long was the lifestyle in which they lived. Now, the Bedouins, they work really hard. In fact, they get up every morning at 6 a.m., they go to work, and they work for 12 hours. They work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The sun goes down. When the sun goes down, they stop working. They come in, they have a meal together, and then from 6 to 10, they sit around the campfire. They eat, they talk, they play games. They enjoy each other. They go to bed at 10, they sleep for 8 hours, and they wake up at 6 a.m., and there's the next day. Now that is hard work. That's a hard life. That's an aggressive day. But it also provides them plenty of time for rest and fun and family and everything else in their life. You see, our bodies were created to work that way. Our bodies were created, like I said, God created us to work. Our bodies were also were created to work hard, and they also need rest. We were created to work when it's light and rest when it's night. That's the way God created us. And when we get off that natural system, it messes up our bodies. It's simple. But it was the Bedouin's key to a long and healthy life. In contrast to that primitive society, as Americans, our initial thought is that the more financial stuff that we have, the more stuff that we get into our lives, the more technology that we get into our lives, the better our life's going to be, right? The more stuff I get and the more technology we get in our life, the better our life is going to be. It's going to be better. It's going to be faster. And what we find is that the more stuff we get, the more bogged down we get. Remember the old cartoon, The Jetsons? A two-hour work day because technology has made it so easy? We thought that's what would happen, but that's not what happens. It bogs down our life. It's like almost we're more stressed out because of the things we have, because we don't get enough rest. See, all I want you to consider this morning is a weightlifter. Have you ever seen a weightlifter and how they work? See, if you're ever around a weightlifter, someone who takes that very seriously, they understand the principle. They understand that working out is important, but their rest is just as important. Because when you're working out with weights, you're tearing down your muscles. You're actually injuring your muscles, and that you have to rest afterwards so for the proteins to come back in and rebuild those muscles to be stronger than they were before. The rest is every bit as important as the work. You see, what if we begin to understand that our lives, about that in our lives, and we live our lives that way? If we understand that just as important as the time we spend working is the time that we take off and that we rest. See, God created us that way, and he says, take aside one day where we are from our working, where maybe we're working a job 6 days a week, and one day you set aside and you get away from the work to rest. Commit time every day to rest at the end of the day. Commit time every night to get enough sleep, and commit once a week to take a day away from your work. Look at what Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 20 says. He says, "So I turned in despair from hard work. It was not the answer to my search for satisfaction in life." So here's the question that I have for you. What is your official day of rest? What is your Sabbath? The day that you take off from the work that you do and rest in your week. And I want you to write that down. My day of rest will be, when is your next scheduled day off? For some of you, today is your Sabbath, and that's great. And it's appropriate that we spend part of that day worshiping God. But I know a lot of you, maybe even today, may be planning to go work right after you leave the service today. But when is your day off? When are you going to get in line? Because you have to make room in your life for rest. Okay? So, from the beginning of the Bible, God says we need to make room for our lives and work. We need to make room in our lives for rest. Here's number three. We need to also make room for relationships. Go ahead and write that down. When God created the world, he said that everything was great. He created the stars, the planets, the animals, the plants. Everything was good. He created Adam. Adam was good. But then all of a sudden, God saw something that wasn't good. Now I want you to look at our next verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It was Adam that wasn't good, and this is what God said. And the Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. God said it is not good for us to be alone. And God noticed that Adam needed someone to be with him. It wasn't until God put Eve in Adam's life that Adam was experiencing life to the best that it could be. So you see, God created us. He created you. He created me with a connection requirement. I don't know why. I don't know why God didn't create us that we could all be self-sufficient and so that we could exist all by ourselves, but he created us to need other people. Just as we need to work, just as we need to rest, we also need people in our lives. Desmond Tutu once said that a person can only be a person through others. In other words, God has designed us to need other people. But you see, unfortunately, so many of us are so disconnected. Our problem, and it's called crowded loneliness. Our problem is that even though we are surrounded by many people, we are still all by ourselves. We still don't have anyone we can turn to and we can lean on. See, we still don't have any meaningful connections in our life. Harvard Medical School professor Jacqueline Oles made this observation. She said, America is in the midst of a loneliness epidemic, and the isolation is undermining our health. Our seeming obsession with the most intimate details of strangers' lives, as evidenced by the rise of tell-all television talk shows and reality television shows, is another manifestation of our isolation. We lack a circle of people we know well. Watching strangers is the way to fill that gap. Unfortunately, it isn't very interesting. So what she is saying is that if we watch reality television shows, it's because we don't have reality in our own lives. We watch Friends on television because we don't have real friends of our own. But it's true. Two-thirds of people who are struggling with stress, you know what they cite as the number one thing in their life, the number one major factor? Loneliness. A vast majority of people who struggle with depression, you know what they cite as their number one cause? Loneliness. Is it any wonder, according to studies, that relationship support is the number one psychological cure, even more than the use of drugs? Psychologists would rather put someone with another person or in a group where they could build a relationship than to prescribe drugs, because that's what's missing in people's lives. We need other people in our lives to share our lives with, to be there for us when we need them. You see, God has taken this, has known this all along. He knew this from the very beginning. After all, he created us this way. And I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. Let's read it together. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read it out loud together. It says this: don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. You see, we have to make room in our lives for other people. We have to give our attention to other people. We can't let our work or our career, no matter how important it is or how important it seems to us, to take precedence over the most important relationship in our lives. Now, I'm saying you can't do that. You have seen it done every day, but I'm telling you, if you put your job, if you put your career in place as a priority over the most important relationships in your life, you're going to regret it. You will live to regret it, and you will die regretting it. Because I've never seen one on their deathbed say, you know, I wish I could go back to the office. I've never heard someone say, I wish I had just one more day to work. No, it's always, I wish I spent more time with my kids. I wish I spent more time with my parents. I wish I spent more time with my wife or with my friends. See, that is what we regret in our lives when we are not in balance over those relationships in our lives that we have neglected. But did you know that married people struggle with loneliness as well? See, a lot of people, they get married and they think they'll never be lonely again. But married people struggle with loneliness too. You can be married to someone and sleep in the same bed with them for years and never get to know them. Because either the husband or the wife had decided they're going to put their career or their job on the front burner and the relationship with their spouse in the rearview mirror. And they usually end up in divorce or even just hurt. Who do you need to make room for in your life today? I mean, today. I mean, not next week, not next month, not next year. Who do you need to make room in your life today? I give you some spaces in your message note. Remember last week we talked about, we tried to come up with someone. What is that difficult person in your life? I had you write down that person, someone you need to reconcile with. Today I'm not asking you, talking about reconciliation. I'm talking about who in your life are you neglecting? Who in your life are you not giving enough time and attention to? And I want you to write down two names. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a friend. It could be a coworker. But who do you need to make time for in your life this week? One of our biggest challenges as we write down these names in the 21st century is to develop solutions to this disconnect and this fragmentation we have in our American life. See, that's one of the places where the church needs to be ready to step in. So make room in your life for work, make room for rest, relationships, and find the most importantly, we have to make room for God. Write that down. Make room for God. We have been looking at the creation story in Genesis, and we have seen that God created us with some specific needs that we need to work. He created us to work, and we need rest. And God created us to need rest, and we need relationships. God created us to be around other people. But the most important thing that God created us to need, and that was Him. He created us to need Him. Our next verse is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He says, "So God created people in His own image. God patterned them after Himself, male and female. He created them." You see, one of the main reasons God created us in His image, one of the reasons God made us like Him, all of us, no matter who we are, was so that we would have a relationship, a personal relationship with Him. Because you see, no other part of creation, plants and animals, wonderful creations, but I've never seen a dog desire to worship. I've never seen Tebow, my dog, go to eat his dinner, and I've never seen him say, "Thank you, Lord, for all of this food." He never prays. He never prays for some reason. And I say, "Tebow, you ought to eat that. You ought to pray before you eat that food. It's the right thing to do," but you know what? He doesn't do that. Because my dog has no connection to God in that way. He has no desire to have a personal relationship with God. He wasn't created in God's image. But as human beings, we were created in God's image. And we have an innate desire to have a connection with our Creator. All of us do. And there is an emptiness in our life when we do not have that relationship. God created us to want that. And just as you were created to have a relationship with others on the horizontal plane, you were created also to have a relationship with God on the vertical plane. Until you have both of those, there is nothing, there's always going to be something in your life that is missing. You see, that's why we oftentimes feel emptiness in our life. That's why when we talk about these other areas, no matter how much we take care of those other three areas of our life, they don't fill us up. It doesn't fill that emptiness up in our life. No matter how hard we work, no matter how much time we put into our careers, it doesn't fill the emptiness that we have on the inside. No matter how much time we take off, no matter how much time we spend playing, partying, resting, they still doesn't fill the emptiness that we feel on the inside. And it doesn't matter how many relationships you go through, how many sexual or non-sexual relationships you have in your life. It's still not going to fill up the emptiness you have inside. As the philosopher Pascal said, you have a God-shaped hole in our lives that only a relationship with our Creator can possibly fill up. And God put it there on purpose. He put it there intentionally. God put that hole in our lives so that we would have to seek Him in order to fill up that hole. So that's what we need to do. We have to make room for a relationship with our Creator in order to fill that emptiness in our life, because God wants that friendship with us. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 9 says. He says, God has invited you into His into this wonderful friendship with his son, Christ our Lord. Will you underline those two words, wonderful friendship? You see, God has given us the ability to connect with him every day. In fact, God wants us to connect with him every single day. God wants you to spend time with him every day praying. See, just setting aside a few minutes at least to pray to him, a few minutes every day to read his word, the Bible, we get to know him better. God wants us to do that. But unlike the other areas of our life, our relationship cannot be compartmentalized. You see, our work can be compartmentalized. That either we're working or we're not working. We can turn that on and off. Our rest is compartmentalized because we know when we're asleep. We know when we're resting. We know when we're not resting. Our relationships can be compartmentalized with other people because we're investing in those people. And we know when we're investing with those other people. But our relationship with God, it cannot be compartmentalized because it should permeate every area of our lives. In our work, in our rest, in our relationships, God should permeate every area of our life. You know, God went to great lengths to make this friendship with us possible. Number one, I just said, he created us in his image with the possibility to connect to him. But you know what happened? Because of sin in our lives, we were separated from God. And we lost the ability to have that connection and a relationship with him. Well, God saw the problem, and he stepped into human history as a human being, as Jesus Christ. He lived, he suffered, he died on the cross. He was raised again on the third day, and we celebrated Easter just a few weeks back. And to celebrate what he did. He did all of that. He did all of that so that we could have a friendship with him, so that we can connect with the Creator. You see, this is what worries me so much. This is what confuses me so much. If our Creator would do that much in order to have a relationship with us, why is it so hard for us to take 5 or 10 minutes a day to try to connect with him? He has taken all the steps towards us. Why is it so hard for us to say, yes, okay, God, I'm going to set aside some time. I'm going to make time for you in my life and to connect with you. And God wants you to do that. Whether you are a believer here today or maybe you are here today and you are not a believer, God doesn't care. If you're not a believer, if you don't know how personally, God still wants you to spend time with him. Try praying. Even if you are not sure about this Jesus thing, you're not sure about this church, start by trying to pray. Try opening your Bible and reading the Bible, reading a part of the Bible every day. See, if you don't feel a connection with the Creator, this is my challenge for you on the very last point, and that is I want you to schedule a daily quiet time for yourself this week. Some of you are going through the reading through the Bible plan that we have put in your bulletins here this morning, that we're reading through the New Testament. That's really great. And you already have this quiet time scheduled. But for a lot of us, we're struggling with this. Here's my challenge for you. This week, starting fresh, starting again, write down a time there in the a.m. or in the p.m. when you're going to set aside some time. Maybe it could be just 5 minutes. If you've done that before, or maybe you can start with 5 minutes and start trying to build, but set aside some time to connect with the Creator. As we end today, I want you to imagine. I brought up here on stage with me this morning 4 balls. And I want you to imagine that these 4 balls represent the 4 areas of your life that we're trying to make room for. Our work life, our rest, our relationships, our life with God. And if you're like me, you probably can juggle these. And maybe sometimes it's hard to juggle these because you can't keep them all going at the same time. But many times in your life, we are just juggling these 4 areas, right? And what happens when we try to juggle 4 things, it just goes everywhere. And it falls down. And that's going to happen in life. We live life. We're not perfect. We're going to drop some balls, and they're going to roll, and that happens. But let me explain something to you. Let's pretend that these areas of your life represent, this one here represents your work life. Here's the thing about your work. Here's the thing about your career. It's a rubber ball. If you drop it, it bounces back. It doesn't shatter. It doesn't crash. If you drop something at work, even if you get fired for what you did, if something happens, there are other jobs. There are other opportunities. A lot of times, we can bounce back from that. But let me tell you about the other three areas of your life. They're not like rubber balls. Your rest, which I equate with health, your relationship with your family, your relationship with God. See, these aren't rubber balls. When we drop those, they don't bounce back. If you drop something at work, it'll come back to you. But these other areas, your health, your relationship, your family, your relationship with God, these aren't rubber balls that bounce right back up. If you drop it in your health, it doesn't bounce back up. If you drop it with your marriage, it doesn't bounce back. If you drop your relationship with God or the other parts of your life, they're going to suffer as well. You see, sometimes you have to get your priorities in order. Work will always be there. Career will always be there. But our health, our family, our marriages, our relationship with God, those are the most important things. Those are things that we have to take care of. You see, balancing your life is hard. Our lives don't automatically become balanced, and they don't work out perfectly. We have to work at it. But if we commit to it and ask God to help us, He will be in those areas of our lives as well, and He will help us succeed. Look at our last verse. It's found in Psalms 37, verse 5. Let's read it together out loud. And this is what it says. It says, "Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him to help you out, and He will." Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, today we acknowledge that You created us and that You know us better than we know ourselves. And You actually gave us an owner's manual to see why we were created and how we can be most happy. Thank You for doing that. And God, You have communicated that we have these four areas of our lives that we need to balance and we need to bring into harmony. Our work life, the rest that we have, our relationships and our relationships with You. Father, help us to make room in our lives for these four areas. Make our work meaningful and successful and enjoyable. God, help us to also make room for rest and fun in our lives. Father, help us to make room for the people in our lives that matter the most to us. And most importantly, Father, help us to make room for You. Now, just a few minutes each day or a few hours each week, but in every area of our lives to make room for You, God. And we don't want to merely exist anymore. We want to experience authentic life that only You can offer. Give it to us today. We pray all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe this morning, you know, a few weeks back we celebrated Easter and we talked about what Jesus did for us. And He did that for us so that we have a remedy for our sin. And maybe there's some here this morning that need a remedy for their sins. Whatever it is, we're going to offer a time of invitation. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that here today. And maybe there's something else in our lives that we need to get right. Maybe it's something you can do from where you're sitting, or maybe something you need to come forward and we pray about it. Whatever it is, please stand with me. Please sing with me.